Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Sam, and alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike. I notice I lost the trustee because I missed the last show.
That's right.
You got to earn it back.
Yeah, you got to earn that reliability back.
It starts today.
Randy Hicks, though, did a wonderful job in your place on Tuesday. But happy
that he was able to do that.
But nevertheless, glad to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back.
Stephen, we've got a full house today. Here's our guest list for today. Joining us from Road Atlanta, it's the president, Jeff Lee, the president of Road Atlanta, not the president of the U.S., by the way. He's got other things to do today. The executive director of the City of Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority in Main Street, Susan Riles, is here today. Dr. Mark Newton from Gwinnett Technical College is here. And also joining us, Angela Nichols from the Hudgens Center for the Arts, along with Linda Murphy with Explore Gwinnett. So I don't know how we fit everybody in the studio, but we've done it.
I'm just going to hold my breath the whole show.
All right. We're gonna start with the president of Road Atlanta, Jeff Lee. Jeff, welcome to the program. Road Atlanta, tell us all about your track up there. And some people may be confused. There's a track, you know, south of Atlanta. There's some other places, but you guys are north of Atlanta. Tell us all about Road Atlanta.
We are north of Atlanta. Thank you for having me, by the way. Road Atlanta has been in existence since 1970. It's a world-renowned road course. It's actually known as much internationally as it is here in the U.S., although it's been nominated many times by Road and Track, Car and Driver, et cetera, as one of the top five road courses in the nation and sometimes internationally. This week is a special week for us because we've got an event called Petit Le Mans, and that is our cornerstone event. It's actually the largest international annual sporting event in Georgia each year, and it is phenomenal. A couple years ago, we did a study. We had people there from 37 states and 19 countries. So it really has a big appeal internationally. We're fortunate that it basically is also, the race itself is 10 hours or 1,000 miles on Saturday, the 19th. And it features the top cars. We're the little sister at Petit Le Mans to the 24 Hours of Le Mans in Le Sarthe, France. So it really brings out the best of the best. And at the same time, 10 hours of international TV coverage is not a bad thing for the county around here. So we pride ourselves on having brought some of the major businesses to Georgia over time with our video postcard in fall each year of this area. And usually it's sunny and nice, and so that works out very well. But it's very well received by the neighbors as well because, of course, we have an event that brings in a lot of keeps the hotels full, the malls full, the restaurants full, and then the folks leave afterwards.
We know Explore Gwinnett's got to love that, of course. But Petit Le Mans, I've actually been to the events in the past, and it's wonderful. It's racing all day long, different classifications. So you see different cars, which is really neat. What can the fans expect as far as not only the races, but what goes on around the racing?
Well, we're very fortunate. Road racing is one of the most approachable sports out there. One of the nice things about Road Atlanta, it's on 700 acres. It looks something like a Kentucky horse farm. You've got lawns and white picket fences and rolling hills and a little bit of racing going on at the same time. But it allows people to move about the facility, and you can watch from a number of different vantage points. So you can see these cars coming through the S's if you're up on Spectator Hill, and they're coming at you virtually catching their headlights in the dark. It's phenomenal. Or you can go out to turn 6 and 7 and virtually touch them. You're within 30 feet of a car at full speed. There's many different vantage points. We also allow kids 12 and under are free, by the way. So it's a great buy for families. You can bring them out. They don't have to just sit in a seat next to you. I always love how I could take my kids to a four-hour stick and ball game, and after the first 15 minutes, it's, Dad, what are we going to do next? And here, there's jumpy jumps. There's things for the kids to do. There's an expo area for them to go see the latest Ferrari or BMW or what have you. And we allow all the fans to come down into the paddock and get right up next to the drivers, the chief mechanics working on the cars, talk to the engineers about what they're doing. And in fact, there's not only open autograph sessions and so forth on Friday, but on Saturday morning, you can get down right on the grid, on the racetrack, before the cars leave to go out on their recon lap. So as they're being set up to go racing, you're literally right down there with the cars. It's very fun.
That's amazing. And I want to add on to that point that you mentioned about people can kind of go sit wherever they want to sit. I don't know if it was Petit Le Mans or another race I was at. We actually drove our car into the complex.
Absolutely.
Pulled up alongside the track, and my kids and my cousin's kids, they sat on top of the car watching the cars go by. And literally, as you said, 20 feet away from you, they're zipping on by.
That's absolutely true. And you'd be surprised the number of different cars that end up being a grandstand for the event, from Ferraris to Jaguars to what have you, because the Petit Le Mans features the top levels of sports cars. So there's BMW, Ferrari, Corvette, Viper, all competing against each other at one time. So those folks, for instance, in the Porsche Corral, we've got a couple hundred Porsches. In the Ferrari Corral, you'll have, you know, something similar, same thing with Corvette and otherwise. So it's always fun to see, you know, we've got the folks with debris and champagne sitting on the trunk of the Mercedes. And next to them, we've got some folks with the Pabst Blue Ribbon as well, having everybody gets a chance to enjoy it.
The rusted out pickup truck, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
So, Jeff, for someone who's not a fan, someone who's never been to an event like this, break it down a little bit. 10 hours. What are the different hours? And then Mike was talking about different classifications of cars. What can someone expect? What are they going to see? Because someone who might be coming for the first time might think, you mean you race 10 straight hours in one car for 1,000 miles? Yeah. Sounds like that's not what it is. So explain it a little bit.
No, actually, starting with the weekend. Today, we've got qualifying and some racing going on, which are some of the support races. So there'll be the Porsche GT3 Cup, the IMSA Lights, things like that. Tomorrow we have the K&N NASCAR Series, which is the junior folks that are soon going to be the Jeff Gordons and the Jimmy Johnsons of the world. And then on Saturday is the premier race, the American Le Mans Series. And that's five different classes of cars on the track at the same time. The LMP1s are prototype cars from that are just basically an aircraft on the ground. They're phenomenal. They look nothing like a normal car that you'd have on the street. And then the GT cars are much more like a standard car you'd get from the Ferrari dealership or the Corvette dealership or what have you. And they're all on track at the same time. They race at different speeds. So it makes for a fair amount of entropy. Because if the P1 cars are lapping, you know, they'll reach close to 200 miles an hour on the backstretch, and they're catching some guys in the GT class, which might be 30 or 40 miles an hour lower in top speed, who are also racing for their position, it can make very exciting times.
Now, if I come for the very first time, if someone who's coming for the very first time, you talked about a lot of different things that someone can do, a lot of different activities and opportunities. Where would you suggest somebody start? What would be you're like, hey, look, if you're coming for the first time, make sure you do these two or three things.
I would think anybody would want to get down to the paddock and watch these cars, see the bodywork off of them, just how phenomenal they are with the technology and the advancements and things that'll show up on street cars 6 years from now is very much fun. And then you might meet a driver or two and you make a favorite. And that's always fun. And then I love Spectator Hill. Watching these cars come through the S's at Road Atlanta is, you know, this is a track of legacy and lore. You know, the Mario Andretti's of the world raced here, the Paul Newman's, what have you. And so, in fact, there's a few stars coming out this weekend. Our friend Patrick Dempsey's going to be hanging around, and he usually creates a bit of a stir since the females seem to like him for some reason. I haven't quite caught on why, but apparently he's cute. and so there's any number of the Hollywood set out there and the most famous drivers internationally that drive sports cars and Indy cars and so forth. So lots of fun things to do. But, yes, I would absolutely go to the paddock and then get out on one of the hillsides and have a chance to see it first.
I had the pleasure of interviewing Paul Newman several years ago at Road Atlanta. He always said that Road Atlanta was his favorite course. And so you have Patrick Dempsey, some other celebrities as well. Some of the things that fans might want to check out, too, you have a vendor village. Tell us all about the vendor village that you'll have there.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun. We have anything from the major car manufacturers like BMW or Ferrari will have their displays out there, Mazda, et cetera. But also, we've got things down to the local folks that have the collectible cars and video games and what have you. So there's something for everybody in the exhibition area.
And the races are different from, say, NASCAR races, because you hear about NASCAR, how loud it is. And if you don't like loud, that's not really the case at Road Atlanta. You could find a spot, and even though you're close to the track in many cases, these aren't making those noises that some of those NASCARs make.
Well, it's not as big a thundering drone.
Right.
It's not, you're not, you know, in a stadium where you're sort of encapsulated in an area. You can get up close to the Ferraris, and they sing. there's a fair amount of noise there. But you can also be up on one of the hillsides, we were talking about, where you get a great view of the racing, and you're not quite as deep into the elements, if you were, not quite as immersed.
So, Jeff, you came to talk about Petit Le Mans, your signature race. Talk a little bit more about some of the other things Road Atlanta hosts. your season, as it were, for the track and what you see happening now and in the future for Road Atlanta.
Wonderful. Well, we're busy about 340 days a year. So we virtually, except for a few holidays, we've got somebody on the track, and that can be anything from our 17 public events to local or regional car club, like a BMW club or somebody will rent the facility. We have a racing school out there, which in a few days they can take somebody from zero to hero. You never have to have driven a stick before, and the next thing you know, you got a racing license. There's any number of different things happening, and we're also very fortunate that we have a chance with our NASCAR ownership and otherwise to give back to the community. So we host a Relay for Life out there each year, and a number of different things that allow us to participate and be a good neighbor.
Steven, allow me to suck up to Jeff for just a second here. I also do Sports Talk at 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. And any way that I can work it out where I can actually drive on that track and be part of that, that would be so cool. I've always wanted to do that.
Well, we'll work it out for you. And I'll let you in on a little secret. When I give the hot laps, I usually wait until in a business suit and tie, I usually wait until the second lap to tell people I used to be a race car driver. So it's usually fun to see their expression coming under the bridge with an 80-foot drop in a blind corner, and they don't know who the guy in the seat next to him is when he's driving through it at 100 miles an hour. So
that's amazing. Fun. Well, before we let you go, Jeff, tell us where people can find out more information about this weekend's races and any other information about Road Atlanta.
We're on Facebook, Twitter. RoadAtlanta.com, of course, is a great place for information, and if somebody wants to call about tickets this weekend, 1-800-849-RACE.
Great, and hopefully have you come back sometime soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff Lee, the president of Road Atlanta, joining us here on, I almost said on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, but that would be the other place, here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us now on the show, let's see who's going to be next. It's going to be Susan Riles, the executive director of the City of Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority and Main Street. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Tell us all about the City of Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority. So this is not Stone Mountain Park that a lot of folks are. In fact, one of your little slogans is you're a cool little town next to a big granite rock. So I love the branding. Tell us about Stone Mountain Village and the Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority.
Okay, be glad to. Stone Mountain Village is a cool little town right next to a big granite rock. And we're
sorry, I stole your thunder.
I'm so glad you said that because we are a cool little town. We're a historic little village, and a lot of people do confuse us. There's sort of a little bit of confusion sometimes with the park, because as soon as you say Stone Mountain, people think park. And we are the town that actually grew up next to the park. Historically, the town grew out of the quarry business. The Stone Mountain actually was quarried at one time. And so the little town was a working class town that was created from that. So we are heavily into the process of revitalizing our downtown area. We have some cool little historic buildings there that we're working on getting restored. We're in the process right now of raising money for restoring our historic train depot, which is actually where they brought the granite up from the park, what is now the park, to the town and put it on the railroad and to send it off, you know, that building material, that granite, all over the country. There's actually some Stone Mountain granite and Abraham Lincoln Memorial and in Washington, D.C. So there's Stone Mountain granite everywhere. So that makes this kind of a unique and cool little place. We are doing things like we're in the process of creating an urban redevelopment plan for the town, and we've recently completed what's called an LCI study, or a Livable Centers Initiative study, to gain input on what would make us, you know, a more desirable little place to live, beside the fact that we're right next to the mountain, wonderful, you know, hiking and biking, as well as events there, and cool little craftsman homes and bungalows, as well as the historic aspect. We have a Civil War cemetery in town, so there's a lot of heritage, cultural background to the city as well. So, and we do events. We do events that are separate from the park, and you know, we have to make sure that people know that we're the village and the town. The town is actually very tiny. It's only 1.4 square miles. And so a lot of times when people think Stone Mountain, they don't really think the little town itself.
So the rock is bigger than the town itself.
It is. So it's a great place to be. We just finished up a great event that is an annual event. It's our fifth annual Oktoberfest, which centers around an authentic German restaurant and bakery that's located in the Stone Mountain Village. And we had several thousand folks there this weekend. It was just this past weekend, and we do that every year on the second weekend of October. So that's one of our big signature events that we do there. One of the other big events that we do is a bluegrass festival in March. It's the last weekend of March, and we have bluegrass folks come from all over the southeast area. We partner with SEBA, which is the Southeastern Bluegrass Association, and Atlanta Foundation for Public Spaces, who puts on a lot of art events. So we have art and music, and it's one of our other signature events in town.
Now, you're looking to revitalize the Stone Mountain Village in downtown Stone Mountain. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the businesses that are already there that have been very successful. And what types of businesses are you looking to attract into the area?
Okay. Some of the businesses that have been there forever, the German restaurant bakery I mentioned is going to have its 40-year anniversary next year. So they've been there 40 years. They started with the woman, the husband and wife team are from Germany. When they moved here, they couldn't find great bread, so she started making bread in her kitchen. And it's turned into one of the best German restaurants in the city, you know, in the metro area. So it's a really cool little place. The other thing we have are some really funky, fun little shops and antique shops. We also have what's called an arts incubator, where we have arranged through some grants to have artists come in and have studio space and gallery space downtown in the village. So you can actually come in and see an artist working in their studio and then actually buy their work in the gallery. So that's been a real big part of our renaissance there too. The arts is a big part of that.
So, Susan, Mike asked you about the existing businesses that are making Stone Mountain Village successful. Mm-hmm. Let me let you unpack the urban redevelopment that you mentioned at the very beginning of the interview. Mm-hmm. What does that entail? What are some of the steps you guys need to take? What are some of the goals, and what are some of the things you envision for Stone Mountain Village?
We are in the process of adopting our urban redevelopment plan. The city council and mayor have to adopt that as the plan, and they will be doing that next month. And then we will be applying for an opportunity zone status, which will allow us to give some tax credits to new businesses that would come in. And we're hoping that that will attract folks. So we're taking those kinds of big steps to bring in and draw in new businesses. The kinds of things that we would like to see locating there, as well as large businesses, doctor's offices, dentist offices, destination restaurants, fun and funky little shops, you know, unique retail. We're looking for that kind of thing. Small independent bookstores, coffee shop, tea shop, you know, we're looking at those kinds of things. Small fresh market. So, those things have been identified as the types of businesses that we would like to have. We're also zoned for live-work. We'd like to develop that idea of people living and working in the downtown area, so creating loft spaces out of some of the old historic buildings, live upstairs in the loft, run a business downstairs, that kind of thing. So,
okay, Susan, I'm going to ask a very ignorant question so you get to laugh at me, which no. A lot of people do, but you said the village itself sits on 1.4 square miles. What kind of population are we talking about in Stone Mountain Village?
The population is only 5,000 people. Okay. In the actual city of Stone Mountain. We call it the village. It's when we say the village, we mean the city. And so actually the greater Stone Mountain area is a lot larger, but right. The city is actually very small.
I do have to ask, and I hope it doesn't open up a can of worms here, but what is your relationship with Stone Mountain Park? Is it a good relationship? Do you find that a lot of people will come to the park and do the village and try to make it a full day?
Yeah, we've particularly in more recent years, we've had a good relationship with the park, and we're trying to build on that. There's two entities that run the park. There's the Stone Mountain Memorial Association, which is part of the state, and then there's Hershen Corporation, which is they run the activities and the tourist things like the Sky Hike and all of that out there. So there's really two entities that we deal with there, and we have a pretty good relationship with them. And we're trying to do more to partner you know, with the park, because we got 4 million tourists that come there every year, and we would love to have some of them come to the village, and we do what we can to try to get them over there and let them know that there's some other things in the village that they can partake of besides the great big granite rock.
Susan mentioned, and we're talking with Susan Riles, the executive director with the City of Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority in Main Street. She mentioned the Hirsch Group, which runs Stone Mountain Park. They also run a lot of other, mm-hmm. I think they're Dollywood.
Yeah, they do. They own
that. And they just bought the Harlem Globetrotters,
yes.
By the way.
Yes,
really?
They did.
Yes, and
yeah.
they're based a few miles from here in Gwinnett County.
Mike, yeah. You are a fountain of information this morning.
I'm not ignorant this morning, which is amazing.
That's my job.
Exactly.
At least today.
What is it, Susan, that you, before we let you go, what is it that you love most about your job and what you do there at Stone Mountain Village?
It's really very exciting to see things changing in Stone Mountain Village. And I've been able to work a lot with the events this past year and upcoming events. We've got a 3-day, the Breast Cancer Walk is coming out of the park tomorrow, and they're coming right through the village. So anybody who wants to come down and cheer on some loved one, please come to the village and do that. We'll be the first stop, and we'll be there bright and early tomorrow morning. We've got a Color Vibe race coming up on November the 23rd, which is going to be a lot of fun, where they throw colored powder all over you on a 5K race. It's really cool. We've got a Christmas parade and fireworks. We do our own fireworks in the village on the day after Thanksgiving. That's November the 29th. So that's coming up. Those are the three big things we've got through the end of this year. And then next year, we've got 175th anniversary for the town coming up, and we're going to be doing events throughout the year to celebrate that 175 years of being in existence. We used to be called New Gibraltar, and the name of the village was changed to Stone Mountain back in the late 1800s. So we're excited about celebrating that history for the last 175 years. So.
All right, Susan, in the first interview we did, Mike tried to suck up to ride the coattails and get a free laps around the track. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and suck up to get a free German dinner at least.
I can handle that for you.
So I'm going to tell one of my favorite stories is I used to run around the mountain back when I ran cross country. That was one of the places we trained in DeKalb County. And one of my favorite things to do, it was actually my cross country coach who did this, and I cannot remember the name of the place, but there was a wonderful little malt shop that had the greatest milkshakes. I've never been able to match them ever in my life. Yeah. And I remember saying, well, coach, we're running and here we're going to have milkshakes. He goes, you got to reward yourself for
That's
a job
right.
well done. So I still remember that. But here's my little add-on question. You said one of the things you guys are trying to do is let people know, hey, we're right here near the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
What is the easiest way for people to get to the village? Where exactly is it
great.
Located?
That's a great question. If you come off Highway 78, there is a sign that says Historic District. And if you exit to the right, I believe it's exit 5, and it says Stone Mountain Historic District, you'll exit to the right and you'll come off on Ponce de Leon. You take a left. It'll take you right through downtown Main Street, Stone Mountain Village. And you can actually, from there are two streets that go left that go directly into the west gate of the park. So most people go to the park around the other on the other side, which is like the east gate, but we're actually right outside the west gate of the park. So we're within walking distance. A lot of bikers and walkers park in the town and then walk into the park, because you pay for your car to go in the park, but you can walk or ride in the park on a bike for free. So a lot of folks do park in the village and then walk or ride in there. So
we're learning a lot today.
Yeah.
Susan, you mentioned all the events that are going on and you have upcoming. For folks that want to find out more information about the events, they want to find out more about the village and the downtown redevelopment and so forth,
mm-hmm.
Where can they go to get all that information?
You can go to our website at Stone Mountain Village. It's all spelled out, stonemountainvillage.com. My name's Susan Riles, and my number is 770-413-0607. You can call me also. And we would love to have you come visit our cool little town next to the big granite rock.
It is. Susan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Susan Riles with the City of Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Gwinnett Technical College, or Gwinnett Tech as we like to call it, is Dr. Mark Newton. He's the Director of the Hotel, Restaurant, and Tourism Management Program. Mark, good morning. How are you today?
Good, Mike. How are you doing?
We're doing great, and we're going to try to figure out what free stuff we can get out of you today now. No, Gwinnett Tech's a wonderful school. My daughter has gone there. A lot of folks I know have gone there as well. But you think of Gwinnett Tech, and you hear the tech part. People think vocational schools. Okay, that's where you go to be a mechanic. But you have a broad array of classes there. Talk about all the things and all the degrees you offer at Gwinnett Technical College.
It has changed so much. And I started teaching classes in 1987, and it was. Mike, you're exactly right. It was a vocational school.
I'm rarely wrong, by the way.
Yes, you're rarely wrong.
Oh, sorry.
But it has changed so much. And we have now become a technical college, part of the system of Georgia. And our big job is trying to get people to become more employable, help them with their careers. And so there are all kinds of different programs, anything from automotive to business, to marketing, to accounting, to computers, to health. Health has been really big. That we have a whole brand new building, and that program has really exploded. But, you know, and people are learning skills that will help them find employment and help them. And a lot of students come to us already employed. And what we're doing is helping them grow their careers, helping them with promotions, and help them, have a great career.
There are schools, a lot of schools have reputations for being really strong in certain areas. Like, you got to get your degree. If you want to be in that field, this is a school you need to go to. At Gwinnett Tech, is there an area where you really excel and that's a really good school? If you want to do this, you got to go to Gwinnett Tech.
They really excel in hotel, restaurant, and tourism. The instructor is unbelievable. Just kidding there, Mike. Just kidding.
And by the way, we're talking with Dr. Mark Newton, the director of the Hotel, Restaurant, and Tourism.
Wait a minute.
Well, one of the things that's really taken off, though, is the health, because there's such a need out there. And it's over 800 students apply for not many openings. So it's really very competitive admissions. But there are so many. The computer program is terrific. What I love is the automotive, because they work with a lot of automotive companies such as Chrysler. And what they do is that they come in with certification programs. They learn these particular programs done by, for example, Chrysler, and then they have a job right after that. And so they do a great job, just like Gwinnett Tech, working with industry and finding out what needs they have and then helping to provide those needs.
So, Dr. Newton, Mike started the interview by saying, what are we going to try and get out of you? I'm going to start the interview, or my question, by apologizing. Here you are, the director of program director of Hotel, Restaurant, Tourism Management Program, and we just got done interviewing one of the great tourist attractions of Road Atlanta.
Absolutely.
And one of the great places to visit in Stone Mountain Village, and you just sat there and probably were dying to ask a question or
Absolutely.
Two.
Absolutely.
So here's my question to you. Obviously, I think one of the neat things about your program is you are located in Gwinnett County.
Right.
You're located where there are some great tourist mm-hmm. attractions, where there are some great large conferences, hotels, all that kind of stuff. How does the college shake hands with the community? How does the college work with the businesses outside of them?
Well, several ways, but one big way is that we all have advisory committees. And in the advisory committees, it's a great way for us to find out and be a little closer connected to industry. As an instructor, and I teach 5 classes a semester, it's important for me to keep up to date with industry. So we have people like Linda Murphy, right to my right, who is terrific, but she along with 35 other people last week came over, and we had a thing called roundtable discussions, where students had an opportunity to go around to meet employers. And they served as mentors. So when you have an opportunity to talk to someone like Linda Murphy, for example, they will give you some great pieces of advice. And quite honestly, they will listen a lot more than me. I know that's hard to believe, but but it's simply because they're out there every day. And I'm sitting there taking notes along, and I'm learning right along with them, and we're implementing a lot of the different, because the industry changes so much. You know, I teach anything from marketing to law to introduction to hospitality to hotel operations, food and beverage management, and those industries change all the time. And it's my responsibility to keep up with the industry.
So if I'm a business owner in Gwinnett County, especially one in hotel, tourism, your particular program, apart from the advisory committees, what are some other ways I can get involved with the college? What are some of the ways that I can benefit as a business from the college? And the only other thing I would say is, as a business owner, you know, one of the things you either if you stop learning, you're dying.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the, are there some ways that as a business owner, the college can help me?
Yes, great question. What I always do is I'll have I'll have business owners come into my class and talk to my students. And we had three guest speakers this past week. They were terrific. And again, great way for me to keep up to date with the industry, but also great for students. And we follow up with all these, with all the presentations done. And a lot of these business owners need people. And when students can relate the job to the person, it's pretty amazing. Last weekend, for example, there was a big convention downtown Atlanta, and we had five or six or seven students actually went down and participated, interned, got some great experience. We also, what we do, for example, on November 6th, we have a tour of Atlanta that we rent a bus, and we bring about 50 students, and we go to downtown Atlanta as well as Gwinnett County, and we just tour a lot of the different hotels and restaurants. We will stop the bus, and we'll have the general manager of a particular hotel get on the bus and talk to my students. So it's like have a classroom, we'll travel. And it is great. And but it's so important, and Gwinnett Tech does a great job of that, is getting as close a relationship to business as possible, because after all, that's what we're there for. We're there to help provide employment, to help with the workforce of Gwinnett County, and I think Gwinnett Tech does a great job with that.
And as you say, of course, the school is to get these students ready to go into the workforce.
Right.
What can the students do while they're at Gwinnett Tech
right.
to prepare for the real world, as we like to say?
Define your passion and your talent. Because every student has a passion. They may not necessarily know about it. And every student has a talent. What I found out in college is that I was horrible in accounting. I had to take five semesters of accounting. I think my highest grade was like a C-. It was just horrible. Where did I work for 3 years? An accounting firm. You know, that's the worst thing you could do. So what you try to do while you're in school, and it's different than when you're in K through 12, you know, and again, we have a lot of students. Most of our students are 21 to 25, but last year I graduated a student who was 68 and who's employed now, by the way, which is great. But what they can do is just find their passion, find their talent, but also learn how to be more employable. Know how to market yourself, how to dress properly for an interview, how to answer questions on an interview. So, Mike, I've got a question for you.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. So when all of a sudden somebody says, you know, why should I hire you? What would you say?
You're putting me on the spot
yes,
right now.
I know.
Why should you?
What would you do?
I would try to explain what I brought to the table and how I could help their company grow.
Absolutely incredible answer. Great.
Oh,
you passed it and we're going to hire you.
I thought you were about to say a terrible answer.
So what you're going to do is you want to make sure, and we focus on it, bring research. You know, research the company and talk. Why should I hire you? Is because I have researched your company and I have the skills that you're looking for.
But also ask questions too to make sure
Absolutely.
That not only are you a good fit, for, you know, that they are a good fit for you, but you're a good fit for them.
Right. So we really spend a lot of time with students learning how to become more employable, how to market yourself, especially interviews and resumes and learning how to get that job.
And you mentioned the typical student now, 21 to 25 in that range, because vocational schools, the perception was they typically, in the old days, were older students
Absolutely.
Going back for more schooling.
Yes.
But now you have kids that are coming straight from high school going into the Gwinnett Tech.
It's a great deal. I had a student last year that graduated from it, came into Gwinnett Tech at 18 years old and went and transferred and after graduating from Gwinnett Tech with an associate degree. He was on the Hope Grant and then the Hope Scholarship, so it was a pretty good deal for him. And then he went on to an outside the state of Georgia, was transferred, and he ended up starting as a junior, saved him over $100,000 in education costs. And great deal. Now he graduated after 2 years.
And Dr. Newton, you always hear that, you said, you know, while you're in college, find that passion
right.
while you're in college. And some people don't know exactly what they want to do, even as they start college.
Right.
You can go to college really anywhere, and if you really wanted to go someplace bigger, you could always transfer, but
right.
you could take maybe some of the core classes
yes,
at Gwinnett Tech or elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And I would assume that Gwinnett Tech, there's some benefits, not only if you're local,
right.
but it may not be as expensive as some of those
yes.
major four-year universities.
Absolutely.
You don't have to pay, you know, millions of dollars to field a football team or
something like that. Yes, yes. And you don't necessarily have room and board, and because we don't have room and board, we're a commuter school, and it's a great opportunity. A lot of we're getting more and more students who are coming right in from high school. But, you know, if you look at my classroom, I might have 30, 35 students in there, and it's just there's no stereotype. I mean, they're all different, which is great, which makes it so much fun. From different backgrounds, from different age groups, and that's what makes teaching so much fun.
So, Dr. Newton, I've lived in this area most of my life, and kind of been it's kind of been interesting and exciting, and I've loved watching how Gwinnett Tech has grown from where it started, and still keeping true to the core, but yet also now having all different kinds of students and offering new programs. Where do you see Gwinnett Tech going in the future? And also, where do you see your program going in the future?
Right. Well, one thing is we're starting a new campus, and it's going to be in North Fulton. So we're taking that. And you know, it's interesting, and I just learned this the other day, that the facilities that we offer at North Fulton have to be the same exact facilities or the same services, I should say, that we offer here at Gwinnett Tech. So we have a library. We have career services. We have all those. And it's so we're busy going to make that transition, and it's going to be early 2016, I believe, is the date. But we're going to get into that whole new market and be able to offer students there.
Gwinnett Fulton Tech?
Well, yeah, I don't know what the name is going to be. I don't think anybody knows the name yet. But
I was thinking Gwinnett Tech going into Fulton County. Is that allowed?
Fulnett, I guess.
It's very exciting because it's a whole new market. And it's again, an opportunity to really help businesses and help the community because it's really needed out there.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about this other thing that you do. You're the president of Newton's Law.
Right, exactly.
Wink, wink.
Right.
Tell us about Newton's Law. What is that all about?
Law stands for learning, achieving, and winning. And what we try to do is we try to help students become more employable. But also we focus a lot on energizing professional development programs, helping people become excited about the learning process. Because when you take a look at learning, sometimes people have some bad memories of learning. And they think of homework, they think of boring and stuff. No, learning is fun. Learning is exciting. So we try to energize the learning process.
Can you talk to my 13-year-old after the show?
And that's what we try to do, is just energizing professional development for improving employee productivity.
Wow. For those that want to know more about Newton's Law and also about Gwinnett Tech, where can they reach out to find more information?
Okay. Well, in Gwinnett Tech, it's gwinnetttech.edu. And Newton's Law is newtonslaw.biz, B-I-Z.
Great. Good stuff. And we'd love to have you come back sometime.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Martin.
You answered that question very well, by the way.
Now he's sucking up to me, but no, just kidding. Dr. Markham Newton with Gwinnett Technical College, also with Newton's Law. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Moving on now here on Gwinnett Business Radio, joining us from the Hudgens Center for the Arts, which is right down the street. Joining us is Angela Nichols. Angela, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Also joining us, Linda Murphy with Explore Gwinnett, but I believe you're also on the board for the Hudgens Center?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so welcome to everybody to the program here. Angela, for those that are not familiar with the Hudgens Center for the Arts, tell us where you're located and what we would find there.
We are located in the Gwinnett Center complex, right near the arena. We are a nonprofit arts center. We host rotating exhibitions of artwork. We have four to six exhibitions annually in five different spaces. So it's about 12 to 16 different exhibitions that we host annually. We also have a lovely outdoor sculpture garden, an interactive art zone for children and families with hands-on activities tied to our exhibitions. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and we are here for the community to expose them to the arts.
I would think with the different exhibitions and stuff that you have there that your audience would be very diverse. Talk about the types of people that visit your center.
We view ourselves as we're here for the county, and we're also a regional arts center. And our mission is bringing arts lovers, leaders, and learners together through quality programs and exhibits. And so we really take that mission to heart, and we view our audience as – arts leaders. Patrons, appreciators, enthusiasts and artists, art leaders, again, artists whose work we have on display, artists who teach classes, community and business leaders who engage to help us expose the community to arts, and then arts learners, students who are adults and children and other interested people in the community. Gwinnett is a very diverse community, and we try to have our programming reflect that diversity and appeal to the diverse population. Currently, we have an exhibit called Hispano-Americanos, Traveling Souls, and it's Hispanic American Visual Arts Project. It features 45 artists from 13 different Hispanic countries, and so we try to present a wide variety of programming that's going to appeal to our community, to a wide audience.
So, and this question is for either you, Angela, or you, Linda. If I'm a patron who's coming in just during the regular hours, Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, where do I start? What am I going to be seeing? What are the different things? And obviously you do the exhibitions and they kind of rotate, and I'm sure there are some special programs, but just on a regular basis, what should I expect when I walk into the Hudgens Art Center?
We have right now we have 4 exhibits up, and so a visitor will come in and to our reception area in our lovely gift shop where we sell local artists. And we have scavenger hunts for children. So if you come as a family, we have a scavenger hunt that will engage the kids and kind of take them through the exhibitions and have them look at, think about, and respond to what they see with their families. We also have, like I said, the art zone, which is the interactive area, the sculpture garden with a pond and, you know, lovely waterfalls. And so we have a wide variety of things for people to experience and do when they come to visit the Hudgens.
So there's an indoor aspect and there's an outdoor aspect. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things obviously you guys are trying to get away from is the maybe the perception in people's minds that it's just walk sideways down a hall and just, okay, that's a good picture. Let's go to the next one. There's a lot of different things to do and a lot of different things to interact with.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Now, talk a little bit about some of the exhibitions you have had, some of the exhibitions you're looking to bring in. Obviously, Mike talked about diversity. Mm-hmm. That's a big word. Unpack mm-hmm. that. You talked a little bit about this current exhibit, but what are some of the other exhibits that demonstrate the diversity? And again, more than, you know, this is not your parents' art gallery. This is a little bit more interactive.
We, as you may or might not know, the Gwinnett Center annually hosts Japan Fest. Next year during Japan Fest, we're going to be showcasing a Japanese calligraphy exhibit. We will feature the work of an African-American artist this coming January for Black History Month, Larry Walker, who is a retired professor from Georgia State. Really, we have an exhibition team that that reviews proposals from artists and really tries to present a wide variety culturally and medium-wise and things that just some of our exhibitions are, really easy to engage with. We've had flower exhibits. Some of them are more contemporary and a little more edgy, our Hudgens Prize exhibition and program, which I can talk about more. So we really strive to present things that are going to appeal to a wide variety of audiences.
When it comes to the flowers, make sure you let Stephen know when that's going to be appearing, because he definitely
well,
wants
that
to
already
be.
Happened. But,
oh, you missed it, Stephen.
But it was great. It was in the spring. It was, I mean, we did garden programming around it. It was wonderful.
Right up Stephen's alley. Talking with Angela.
I love flowers. What's the problem, Mike?
I have no
idea. Maybe you should explore yourself a little bit more and open yourself up to the arts, right? Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. See? I got two on my side over here.
Angela Nichols, our guest here on from the Hudgens Center for the Arts. Linda Murphy also on the board, but with Explore Gwinnett, which, as we found out on a recent program, is the what used to be the Gwinnett Convention and Visitors Bureau, but you've rebranded to Explore Gwinnett. But Linda, your reason for getting involved with the Hudgens Center and what you believe it brings to the community?
Well, I am Education Director at Explore Gwinnett. I've been there 14 years, And I'm just more enthusiastic, more excited about my job with every day that goes by. And people know that when they hear me start talking about the program I head up, which is called the Gwinnett Tourism Awareness Program. And we just call that GTAP for short. Everybody knows, now you know, GTAP. And we have a free educational program for the hospitality community. It's also for our students at the Gwinnett Tech Hospitality Hotel Restaurant Tourism Management Program. And so Dr. Mark Newton and I partner together. I also partner with their student activities director at the college. And so I have a really exciting job. I meet all kinds of new students every day, and we have something almost every week. And our purpose is to teach the hospitality community what they need to know to bring people back to Gwinnett. They have a guest in their hotel. They can act as a concierge, whether they're a salesman, a guest services person, whether they're general manager who's just moved to the area. They need to know about Gwinnett and its attractions. So we learn all about the attractions like Medieval Times and Yellow River Game Ranch, but we also learn about our cities, which we consider one of our there's 16 right now, but cities as a whole, one of our great attractions in Gwinnett, what they have to offer for visitors. And on the weeks that I'm not doing that, we have what we call our enrichment seminars, and I take those topics from the hoteliers, from the attractions, from the meeting planners, and I find experts who will teach what they want to know. I've been trying to kick up customer service a notch. I have that every year, and it's always a good class. But this year, I found Leonardo Ingalleri from formerly with the Ritz-Carlton, and of course, they're known for their customer service. And he started the Ritz-Carlton Learning Institute and was on the team that opened Disney World in Paris. So this is the caliber of speakers that we have. And did I mention it was free? I think I did.
You just
it
did.
Was free. And if you're my real good friend, you get to come too. So, butter me up.
But it's I just found out it's free. I don't need to butter you up. So that's
well, it's
great
free
thing.
To the hospitality community and my good friends. So I also head up an ambassador group, our volunteer ambassadors. This has just grown by leaps and bounds. Started out with 40 a couple of years ago, have 115 now. And they go through the educational program. They're just not the typical people off the streets. They are people who want to work, who want to have a good time, and they volunteer. I match them up with community activities and things that are going on in our office. They volunteer at concerts, at festivals, at sporting events. So that's a wonderful program, too. And, of course, in addition to being on the board of directors at the Hudgens, I am an arts leader of Metro Atlanta. And then my very most delightful thing that I do is serve on Dr. Mark Newton's advisory board. So that's what I do. I promised my executive director that I would mention that even before I went into this Hudgens party, which I am thrilled to be co-chair with Gigi Goetz this year. We got together and decided we did not want a stuffy party for just a few people. We wanted...
Stephen, you're not invited.
Yes, you are, Stephen.
I've been called many things, but stuffy is not one of them.
Yes, you are. You have a special invitation. But it's October 26th. That's Saturday. Not this Saturday, but the next, from 7 to 10 p.m. It will be showcasing the fabulous Hispano-Americana's Traveling Souls exhibit. But you'll also have a chance to see the other exhibits in the gallery. So we are theming the entire party around the Hispano-Americanos Traveling Souls. So everything will take on a Latin flair, our food, our music, our entertainment, even our cocktails and our wine and lots of Mexican beer. So it promises to be a fun party. We will start out in the Sculpture Garden with open bar, classical guitar, and then we will move into our exhibit hall for the main exhibit and more food throughout the evening at stations. We'll have everything from street tacos to filet mignon. It's just going to be a lavish display of food and some very interesting drinks and a Latin-inspired margarita. If you like margaritas, please come. I think that encompasses pretty much everybody. And some of our entertainment will be classical guitar, will be salsa, dancing, even salsa lessons. Interactive is the word for the night. We'll have Antonio Rodriguez of the Ballet Folklorico for dancing, and also Salsa the Bells will be there.
Would it be easier to ask you what you're not going to have going on at this event?
Boredom.
Okay. Good answer. Very good answer.
And if anybody's ever seen the Royal Dance Academy with their modern version of dance, that's going to be a real surprise. And Gwinnett Ballet Theater will be there with something a little bit more classical from the Spanish dance. So that's just part of it.
Just part of it.
Just part of it. Just part of it. There will be an opportunity to bid on silent auction experiences, not items. We're going to have everything from classes with Vernon Smith, who is our potter. He's a professional potter. He also teaches pottery at the Hudgens. And he will give you a private lesson. And
this is all happening on this night.
Absolutely.
So you should just show up, because there's going to be something for, no matter what you like or don't like, there's going to be there for everybody.
That's right.
She had me at street tacos to filet mignon, Mike.
Oh, I thought I had you at margaritas.
Well, that too, but
or the Mexican beer.
We could go on and on.
Since we're talking about this right now, where can folks go online? Is there an online place where they can find out more information about all this?
Yes, that's thehudgens.org, or you can feel free to email me at linda@exploregwinnett.org. I'll be happy to fill you in. And you can pay online at the Hudgens website, or you can talk to me and send me a check and I'll get you on the list, I promise. And there's just so many more surprises. We'll have a renowned artist, Kathy Fincher, who will be doing an original work of art.
There's not going to be any surprises anymore, Linda, because you're giving it all away.
Yes, there are, but I'm stopping now.
Okay.
There'll be
surprises, because we don't know everything.
There'll be surprises.
You got to leave them wanting more. That's...
I won't mention the trip to the South Pacific.
You just did.
And there go the surprises. For those that are not familiar with the Hudgens Center and where it's located, it's right there at the Gwinnett Center, which, of course, is the corner of Satellite Boulevard and Sugarloaf Parkway. And for years and years, and I believe it's still there, I haven't noticed lately, but I haven't driven by recently, is the big thing, the big robot still there?
You finally got gone.
For years, people knew, oh, that's the building with the big robot. There was a story there. That was from a store
I know exactly where it was.
It was the F.A.O. Schwartz.
F.A.O. Yeah. Schwartz up at Mall of Jordan.
And that closed down, and they needed a place for this, how tall, what, 30-foot robot or something?
40 feet, yeah.
40 foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how did it end up at, it didn't really seem to fit.
Was a bet lost somewhere? That's I'm sorry.
It was Gwinnett's big chicken.
Yes.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
There was a time when we called ourselves the Children's Museum, mm-hmm. and the robot fit with our mission then.
Absolutely.
And it was also a good landmark as far as, because we do have a little bit of an identity crisis in that big complex. We are no longer calling ourselves that. We have programs and activities for our children and families, but we're not called the Children's Museum. And there were also some liability issues with water leaking and electricity.
Oh, maybe the robot falling over and crushing some children.
Did he get? Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask. That's what I wanted to
know. We tried to find him another home, but they had to close down 85 to get him to us, and it's really expensive to move a 40-foot robot. So.
So, Mike, you learn something new every day.
So
it's really expensive.
He got recycled. Robot.
Did I just miss it? Where is the robot now?
It's recycled.
He's been recycled.
Oh, no more robots.
I know.
But okay. It is a green art center. They recycled him.
Yes.
Very well done. I had one question. Linda was talking about the Hudgens.org is the place to go for this. But I'm assuming that's also the website.
Correct.
Anybody wants to get any information,
yes.
Keep up with what's going
yes.
on. Hudgens.org.
Yes.
Very good.
You know, you could have talked to Susan about maybe moving the robot to the middle of Stone Mountain Village. That could have been a big thing for them.
Yeah, we might have liked that.
We approached some parks and science centers and places like that, but nobody could find the funds to get them down the highway.
So for anybody that wants to know anything about the Hudgens Center for the Arts or the upcoming events that Linda was talking about, you mentioned the website, the Hudgens, HUDGENS.org. TheHudgens.org is the place to go. Angela, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Linda, thank you so much as well.
You're welcome.
I want to thank all our guests, Linda Murphy with Explore Gwinnett and Angela Nichols with the Hudgens Center for the Arts. Also a big thank you to Dr. Mark Newton with Gwinnett Technical College. And also Susan Wiles with the City of Stone Mountain Downtown Development Authority and Main Street. And finally, a thank you to Jeff Lee, the president of Road Atlanta, for joining us today. It was a great show, a lot of good information today. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. For Steve and Julian.
Remember, Mike, it's expensive to move a 40-foot robot down the highway. Sounds like a country song.
It's Shut Down 85. For Steve and I, Mike Salmon, for all of our guests, we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.